greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. The one who was dead is alive and was dead and is alive forevermore. The one who said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm thankful for that this morning. It gives me courage to stand before you this morning. A lot of conflicting emotions in my heart this morning, especially with the passing of Brother Jerry this week. But I have a burden to share this morning, and just with the I appreciated the song we sang. And I say that in all the new experiences I'm facing by God's grace, it's well with my soul this morning. I definitely feel your prayers and support, and I thank you for that. After Brother Jerry passed on, I was already thinking of a message, but I changed my mind. I felt led to share this morning. The title of my message is Heaven is Real. Many times, and we've stood beside an open grave of one of our loved ones, and we wonder, sometimes we are tempted to think, is heaven real? Death is a time of separation. And even Job had this question, if a man die, will he live again? This morning, by the scripture, it will show that heaven is a real place and that we will live again. This morning, I believe that Brother Jerry is more alive than he was Wednesday, as he is experiencing heaven. And I had to let my mind wonder, what is it like to wake up and realize that you made it, you're in heaven? You made it through, you won the victory. It has to be such a glorious time to see God face to face, your loved ones that went before. Excuse me, this is going to be kind of an emotional subject for me, but I just felt a burden to, if I can comfort our hearts in a time of parting like this, and I just felt like we maybe need to get a glimpse of what heaven's like, and to long to go there. And this morning, my studying, I have a longing to be faithful to the end of my end of my race, and so that I can experience the glories of heaven as well. Want to look at a little bit, how do we know heaven is real? And I want to look at Jesus' words. First, I'll just look briefly. John 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Basically, what I wanted here was he said he came down from heaven. Let's turn to John 14. Read the first few verses here. John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Promise here that he has gone to that there is a home awaiting for us, and that's where he is now, preparing preparing a place for us for when we go to meet him. And as I studied, I was impressed with the Apostle Paul, his testimony at the end of his life. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And I desire that for my life, as when I come to the end of my life, and I get the picture here that Paul was just about ready to go, like it's 9:45 and the plane leaves at 9:55. he's almost ready and expecting, and he looks back and says, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course." And I desire to be able to say that at the end of my life. I want to just look at some things about heaven. I thought first we need to look just a little bit at the at hell. I'm not going to spend much time there, but I think we need to see what we are saved from. Just briefly look at it. I'm going to spend a lot of time in Revelation today. I don't feel like I have anything new. I just want to share what the scripture says, and just again so we can get a glimpse. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11, there is going to be a time of judgment for all of us. Verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is something that none of us are going to escape. Even those that drown in the sea, their bodies were never found, they will be there. And it's something serious to take to consider in our lives, whether our name is found in the book of life as well. I'd like to look a little bit more at who is not going to be in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Also, chapter 22, verse 15. "For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Some of these things we think are far from us, and I trust that they are. But just think about the fearful and the unbelieving, not trusting God's promises, not depending on him in faith. What about murderers? Jesus said that whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And in the second verse that I read, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, stretching the truth even. Some of these other things listed, immoral sins. Again, our thought life. It doesn't have to be the actions. It's our thought life. Another, I won't read the verse, but another in 1 Corinthians it mentions, in a list of the sins it mentions covetousness. Being eager for gain and wanting, not being content with what we have. These are the people that will not be in heaven. I want to look at who will be in heaven. Revelation chapter 7. Verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne in their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, and blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him night and day in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. I read further than I was going to at this point. But the multitude of people from every tribe, every nation, all over the world, from all times, people gather before the throne of God. And who are they? People that are pure, that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They have won the victory over death and over sin. And they're there before the throne of God, worshiping God. We'll come back and look at some more of that later. And I want to look briefly at how to get to heaven. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's very, very basic, I know, but repent. Repent, so our, as in verse 1 Timothy, it talks about our sins going before us to the judgment. So that when the book of life is open, our name is in there. Let's go back to Revelation 22, verse 14. It's another how we get there. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Yeah, I'd like to look a little bit now at what heaven is like. Hold on, I want to read some of the scriptures in Revelation here on what heaven is like. We'll be back. We'll come back to chapters 21 and 22, but I want to read some more from chapter 7. I started reading that there, but Verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'll read chapter 21, verse 4 at this time as well. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All the things that we some have taken for granted here, all the needs we have, are taken care of. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more getting too hot on a hot day. Verse 21, or chapter 21, no more death, no more separation, no sorrow or crying. Brother Jerry doesn't need dialysis anymore. But the best part is being in the presence of God with the Lamb, says the Lamb in the midst of them. Verse 7 of chapter 21, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Adoption by God into a full sonship, and all the glories of heaven are ours. I want to read also some of the description of the city of heaven. Just mention what I read in John 14 about there being many mansions there. Think about that as we read. I'll start reading in verse 10 of Revelation 21 and read into Revelation 22. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Excuse me. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'm not, with our finite minds, I don't think we can actually get a real picture of what all is there and how beautiful the city is, but just notice a few things here. There's no temple there. We come to worship God in a place like this, our church here, but we don't need no temple because there we are face to face with God. And we can worship him right before him. There's no sun, no need of the sun, no darkness anymore. God is light. No defilement, nothing to harm our peace, nothing to hurt us, to distress us. The water of life is there flowing, the river of life. And even, I was thinking, I read in John 4 where Jesus says that whoso drinketh the water that he gives will never thirst again. And so here we can get a taste of that water. But there, the water of life, and also the tree of life. We can eat of the tree of life where we can live forever in the presence of God. And also, I didn't study into it much, but the leaves of the tree healing the nations, healing our diseases. no more curse, and we are free from the curse of sin that has been over the mankind since the fall in the Garden of Eden. And also, God is there, and we will see him. Can't see where. Oh, it's verse 4. And they shall see his face. We can see him face to face. Somewhere it says that no man has seen God at any time, but there all barriers will be broken down, and we will see him face to face. A blessing that will be. And I, different people hear them say the things that they're going to do when they get to heaven. And I don't know, I think we need to be maybe a little careful. But one thing we are going to do is worship. And we'll go back to chapter 7 again. And I think we'll see more fully, or I know we will, what God has done for us in our lives, how the plan of salvation, what it saved us from. And that is going to make us fall down and worship him like it is. I was going to go back to chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. I read that already, but they were gathered before the throne and crying with a loud voice, salvation to God, and they fell on their faces and worshiped God. And I guess I'm content to be there. I don't know what all it says we'll see our we'll be known as we are known. But as I read this and as we fully realize what God has saved us from, I think we'll be content to worship God for what he has done in our lives. I want to think a little bit more. I always like to read about heaven and see what's there, but we're not there yet, and we still have the opportunity. we're still in the time of opportunity, and hopefully, looking at this will put a longing in our hearts to be ready when God calls us. And none of us know when that time will come. but the invitation is open. And go back to chapter 22. In verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We all have the opportunity to prepare our hearts today, because we don't know how long we have yet. Last Sunday, Brother Jerry was here. He looked better than he had for a while, and most of us probably didn't expect that we would be where we are this weekend. And so, while the day is open, let's come. Because we don't know, they say, I've heard it said, the old will die, the young can die. I consider myself still young yet, but I'm 6 years older than my dad when he passed on from this life. And so, when we get up in the morning, there's no guarantee that we will live to see nightfall. I would like to look just a little bit at Christ's return. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Begin reading at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, God, Christ will return. We will not have to face death if we are still alive here, like the others that have gone on before. Our time of opportunity at that point will be gone as well. It's suddenly going to happen. I'll continue reading here. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just won't that be a great day when Christ will return and we'll be victorious, no more death. The sting will be taken away. No more separation, and it will be the final victory that we will share throughout eternity. My closing thoughts, my prayer for us here this morning, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's kneel for prayer.